So a couple other things. One, of course, the issue of patients with targetable mutations. Corey, so we said you've got a patient who's got an EGFR tumor mutation in general, and we're saying that PD-L1 is elevated. So in general, where would you fit in a checkpoint inhibitor in a patient like that? And interestingly, actually a quarter of the audience says first line. I'm curious if there's a wrong answer in your opinion here, Corey. And generally, where would you introduce a checkpoint inhibitor?
I think first line is the wrong answer. We have data in those who have an oncogenic driver plus high levels of PD-L1 that single agents checkpoint inhibitor doesn't really work all that well. The data are limited, but they're quite compelling. So you treat always with the TKI up front. Once they're TKI refractory, then a potential role probably in combination with chemo. I'm not sure I would do it as a single agent even then. My go-to regimen until recently was PEM-carbo-bev, and then checkpoint inhibitor really is third or fourth line.
And here we actually asked the audience that question specifically, Corey, which is probably the most common scenario right now with first-line osimertinib, getting out to 18 months with then disease progression. It's interesting. Initially, people were saying give the chemo and then checkpoint later. And then the Empower data came out and people started to say, okay, chemo plus. But what do you think, Corey, about the answer of pembro alone?
I'd be a little bit leery. Again, chemo, I think, has a proven track record. You go back to the original IPASS data, the response rate to chemo was double in the EGFR mutant contingent compared to the wild type cohort. And probably the answer that really has data here.
You're saying response rate to targeted therapy.
Yeah, this is for targeted. This is the original IPASS trial.
Right, yeah.
So the answer that actually has data is the next to last, the quadruplet that had an EGFR mutant cohort. And TKI refractory actually had an amazing hazard ratio of about 0.53 when it came to survival. So all the rest either have no data or may have somewhat disturbing data.
Yeah, I think it's probably a bad idea to give, you know, an EGFR mutant who progresses on TKI single agent pembro. I mean, if you look at the KEYNOTE-01 data, the never smokers who had were PD-L1 high, they didn't respond as well, and their durability was extremely low. And I remember, you know, in KEYNOTE-24-42, those patients were actually excluded from those trials. So they're not behaving the same way as a PD-L1 positive in the rest of the population.
So another question, Dave, and actually we got a question in the chat room about this. Hyperprogression, do you believe in it? Does it exist? It looks like the audience thinks it does. I've heard a lot of questioning of it. You know, are you a believer or non-believer, Dave?
So I was going through the ACR list of sessions, and there's a whole session on this, so that must mean it really exists, but I don't believe in it. I've not seen it. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I just have not seen it.
Well, clearly you've seen people go downhill, but obviously the disease could right. be a very likely, if not possible, explanation.
There's something called progression, simply.
Yeah.